the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging, and to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah the Almighty. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about courage and bravery in Islam. I invite all of you to be with us. Today, Monday, is the 16th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. corresponding to the first of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We are Muslims, so we start everything with Allah's words. We choose Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم.
O you who have believed, whoever of you should revert from his religion, Allah will bring forth in place of them a people He will love and who will love Him, who are humble toward the believers, powerful against the disbelievers. They strive in the cause of Allah and do not fear the blame of a critic. That is the favor of Allah. He bestows it upon whom He wills. And Allah is all-encompassing and knowing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
As a general rule, the Quran warns all the Muslims that if any one of them turns away from this religion, he does not harm Allah, his religion, Muslim society, because he will soon bring forward a group of people to support this religion. They love Allah and think of nothing but his pleasure. They are humble and kind unto the believers, while they are mighty, stern, and forceful against the enemies and tyrants. Striving in the way of Allah is their constant program, and they do not fear any reproach of any reproacher.
Pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal.
Courage and bravery in Islam is our topic for today's special. Being bound by his conscience, a believer cannot fail to be courageous. For example, if an innocent person is accused and he is aware of his innocence, he defends the person for the good pleasure of Allah, even if it is in conflict with his own interests or places him at risk. This is a true example of courage. The source of this courage exemplified by the faithful is their fear of Allah. One who behaves bravely, listens to his conscience and recognizing what is right, proceeds along the correct path without fearing anyone, will achieve salvation. He will be blessed with the mercy, pleasure, and bounty of Allah in paradise. As for the one who lends an ear to the blandishments of Satan, is driven to the depth of hell, where he will be forced to remain eternally. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to be brave in Islam. I mean, and in this connection, we are going to consider various aspects of braveness or bravery according to Islamic teachings. At the same time, it must be indicated that those people who manifested the braveness in the wrong way, certainly they commit a very illogical and unreasonable deed. And for example, in the Holy Quran, it's indicated وَلَا تُلْقُوا بَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا التَّهْلُكَ, never endanger yourselves on purpose. Now we find that endangering oneself isn't a sign of braveness. Rather, braveness means that the person is able to take the right decision at the right time, and it's indicated that the right decision at the right time benefits both the person who takes this decision as well as those people who are involved in the same situation or context or circumstances. In this connection, it must be indicated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected his divine prophets according to various merits and qualifications that they had. And one of them was that all the divine prophets were brave people, because it must be indicated that for example, it requires much braveness in order to withstand satanic temptations or to neglect worldly desires or worldly benefits and worldly and transitory benefits for the sake of long term and eternal grace to be provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
From different kinds of courage, worage to moral courage. Moral courage, what is it? Is the courage to stand up for your convictions despite the sense that it may end badly for you. This is a type of courage that is often exercised when your morals conflict with mainstream social views. People with moral courage may expect to be ridiculed or socially excluded because of their views, which may even be taboo. They may also personally stand to lose from their actions, but do things because they're the right thing to do, rather than because they have utilitarian values. In these cases, they choose to act out of moral courage due to the strength of their own personal convictions.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قم على خدمتك جواره.
So welcome to this part of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Now let's look at tips to liberate yourself from fear. Today we know more about knowing your limitations. Are you really the master of your own destiny? Happiness lies in understanding the difference between those things you can control and those things which are beyond your control. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family said to Ibn Abbas, "If the whole nation were to gather together to benefit you, they would only benefit you with that which Allah had already written for you. And if the whole nation were together to harm you, they could only harm you with that which Allah had already written to harm you. The pen has been lifted and the ink has dried. Psychologists also realize that an excessive need for control can lead to anxiety and a paralyzing fear. This is basically one thing that stands out from different researches. Dr. Les Parrott, in an interview in the October 2000 edition of Psychology Online Journal, said that there is basically one thing that stands out from my research. Anxiety is the fuel that runs the engine of every control freak, that translates into fear, that leads them to become over-controlling.
When Musa climbed Mount Sinai and approached the burning bush, he was expecting to encounter a fellow human being, but he encountered Allah himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals himself to Musa in Surah number 27, verses 9 and 10. Allah says, Ya Musa, innahu ana Allahu al-Aziz al-Hakim. O Musa, I am Allah, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing. And then Allah Azza wa Jal teaches Musa the most important lesson when fighting against tyrants. He says, وَأَلْقِ عَصَاكَ فَلَمَّا رَآهَا تَهْتَزُّ كَأَنَّهَا جَانٌ وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ. Allah says to Musa, O Musa, pass down your staff. When Musa saw that his staff had transformed into a running serpent, he turned away and he ran. Allah says, Ya Musa, إِنِّي لَا يَخَافُ لَدَيَّ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. O Musa, my messengers are never afraid in my presence. To face against any tyrant, to eradicate injustice, requires fearlessness and courage.
Dear brothers and sisters, what you had listened to was today's special from IRIB English Radio. That's all for today's episode. Inshallah, we'll meet you in another day, same time, same channel. Thank you very much for joining us. Till another episode, fi amanillah.
Some might say this world today is short. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise? Reaching out to the heart that's in you. And in every tear that is wet, He is there. In every tear that is wet,
food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us reflect on an aphorism bequeathed to us for our guidance from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. There are two qualities such that there is no quality above them: faith in Allah and the serving of brothers.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. You've been speaking about worship, about the worshippers, and so on and so forth. But there are many traditions that indicate the meaning which I mentioned in one of the episodes about worship, having a very broad and vast meaning. That every single act that a person does can be an act of worship. And in this tradition from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, we see the best form of worship. And it truly is the best form of worship, because everything else falls under it if this is done properly, that the person can truly, you know, attain that position of being in ibadallah, that worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that verily, above every act of worship is an even better act of worship. Right? So there's a hierarchy of acts of worship here, that above every act there's another act. And then the Imam says that, and the love for us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, وَحُبَّنَا أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ أَفْضَلُ الْعِبَادَةِ. And this love for us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is the best act of worship. Why? Because it has to be out of sincerity, right? You cannot love somebody insincerely, because then you'll become a munafiq, because you'll be showing something that on the inside you don't have, right? Secondly, by following and by loving the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, it indicates that hopefully, inshallah, you will be following in their footsteps, because true love is seen when a person does everything for that which he loves, for the beloved. So true love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam will hopefully drive us towards following in their footsteps. But if, for example, as the tradition says, hub and love, love does not necessarily mean that, you know, you become a Shia. No. A person, for example, from amongst our Sunni brothers and sisters, many of them love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This then allows them to defend the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And you know, who knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of this defending of the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, by defending the followers of the path of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that these people may be saved on the Day of Judgment. Who knows? It's not up to us to decide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will decide. And that love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we know many people who, you know, may not even be Muslim, especially the Arba'een, we see it, that Jews, Christians, so many different people go towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Why? Because of the love of Hussein alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the final judge on the Day of Judgment. We do not know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to truly enable us to ascertain and attain the depth and the highest type of love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But this is also important to be mentioned, that within this love there is a gradation, and we ask for the highest form of this love, inshaAllah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to you, all of the dear listeners of this program. I'm glad to be with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter. Then we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous reciter. And after it, Brother Muhammad will analyze and talk about that recitation. Besides these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic segments which will be presented to you. So please stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Abdulaziz Ali Faraj. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in 1927. Despite being blind, he memorized the Noble Quran completely and learned recitation techniques from Sheikh Ahmad al-Ashmuni. In 1962, he managed to pass the Egyptian radio entrance exam. He was one of the powerful reciters in terms of memorization of the Noble Quran and this trait gave him a firm self-confidence during recitation. He pays a careful attention to tajweed rules, including places and manners of articulation of Arabic letters and lengthenings, or mudud. He also observes waqf wal-ibtida rules carefully. His voice was very similar to Muhammad al-Bushi, a famous reciter who lived before Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj. His style was so unique and specific that could rarely be imitated. He passed away in 1977 at the age of 50. May Allah bless him. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 31 to 40 of Surah An-Naba, recited by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا صدق الله العظيم
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 31 to 40 of Surah An-Naba. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, the first rule of tajweed in the first verse that was recited is the ghunna of the noon, which is mushaddad. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. The noon is mushaddad. As a result, you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. It's very simple. All you have to do is you hold the sound of the noon for two vowel counts. As long as two vowel counts. For example, if you have an aliful mad, this is two vowel counts, right?
Yes.
In the duration should of the ghunna should be the same. لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The qaf has tafkhim at the lowest level.
Because it has a kasra, actually.
Yes, it's because of the ya'ul med, or just like you said, the kasra. It's both are the same, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that ya'ul med is
double.
It's double. The sound of the kasra is double. حَدَائِقَ. We have مَدُّ الْمُتَّصُ here.
A conjunct
lengthening, and Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj, he lengthens this mad to five vowel counts, which is the maximum number of vowel counts that you lengthen, that you could lengthen mad al-muttasil. Verse 33, the ta was pronounced very well by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj, because you know whenever you have a ta sakina, it's very important that you pronounce it, actually. You articulate the ta, because it's difficult. And the place of articulation of ta is such that there should be no aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
If you say at-raab, that's incorrect. At-raab, without any aspiration.
And without qalqala.
Yes, without qalqala, exactly.
Makes it more difficult, I think.
Yes, that's right. It does make it more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say atarada, it's a lot easier. Yes. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. Here we have إِخْفَاء of نُون ساكنة, which we've talked about before in the previous programs, and it's a very important rule of نُون ساكنة. Basically, you don't pronounce the نُون ساكنة from its own place of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
What you're supposed to instead do is that you get rid of the place of articulation of noon. That's the first thing you do.
Yeah.
The second thing you do is that you approximate the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa, which is after the tanween or noon sakina.
Actually, what we are talking about is the phrase ka'san dihaqa.
Yes, which is dal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wa ka'san dihaqa. We approximate the place of articulation of dal. We don't make the articulators touch the place of articulation of dal. We make it get really close to the place of articulation.
We keep it there.
And at the same time, yes, we keep it in that position. At the same time, we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Now, in the next verse, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّبًا. The ghain was pronounced very well by Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj. Because, you know, ghain is a letter of rakhawa, and you have to pronounce it with weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Lagwan. If you say lagwan with shidda, it's incorrect. If you pronounce it even with tawassult, it's incorrect. It should be weak, mm-hmm. and the timing is the most among the letters of shidda, tawassult, and rakhawa.
Yeah, among by shidda, we mean letters of actually plosive letters. And by tawassut, we mean letters lin umar.
Yes, lam nun ayn mim and ra. Yes, that's right. And by rakhawa, we mean
weak fricatives.
The weak fricatives, yes.
Just like what we have here.
Yes.
Ghain is one of them.
Yes, that's right. Jaza'an min rabbika ata'an hisaba. We have two matul muttasils, which we had a one matul muttasil in the verse 32. Here we have jaza and ata. Both of them are matul muttasils, and both of them should be lengthened to five vowel counts because Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ali Faraj lengthened the first one to five vowel counts.
Due to the rule consistency.
Yes, you have to be consistent with respect to matul muttasil. Okay, Let's go on to the last verse, since we don't have much time. We have another kun. We have another ikhfa in the word kuntu. The nun sakina is followed by the letter ta. And so we do the same thing. We get rid of the place of articulation of nun. We approximate the place of articulation of ta.
Mm-hmm.
And we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. And all of them should take place at the same time.
So ikhfa can take place within a word, unlike...
within both the word and phrase, yes. Unlike idgham.
Unlike idgham, which can only take place within a phrase.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق هو القرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi' an tusamihani wa tarhamani wa taj'alani biqismika radiyan qani'a.
In this part of the divine supplication, Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking four requests from the Almighty Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi'. O Allah, I ask you with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, and to samihani wa tarhamani wa taj'alani bi qismika radiyan qani'a wa fi jami' al ahwali mutawadi'a. To show me forbearance, to have mercy on me, and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment and humble in every state. Let us talk about forbearance a bit. Islam has forbidden all Muslims from hostility and jealousy towards each other. And Islam does not like cutting ties of kinship. In Islamic thoughts, we have been invited to lenience and compassion towards each other. In Islamic view, it is considered that believers are moral brothers, and they are presented valuable rights of brotherhood in this regard that are recommended and sometimes obligatory for the believers to be observed. Making moral and brotherhood relationships and continuing it results in purity from some moral vices. Human vices such as pride, greed, stinginess, jealousy, and all these vices avoid compassion and mercy among people and families. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a significant tradition, has warned people against moral vices and has encouraged them to observe brotherhood rights. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has said, "La tadabaru, wa la tahasadu, wa la taqata'u." Do not be hostile toward each other, and do not be angry with each other, and do not be jealous of each other. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Do not cut ties of friendship and befriend each other. الْمُسْلِمُ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمُ لَا يَظْلِمُهُ وَلَا يَحْرِمُهُ وَلَا يَخُضُلُهُ. Muslims are brothers. A Muslim does not oppress his Muslim brother. A Muslim does not deprive his Muslim brother from his compassion and his wealth, and does not leave him alone. That's why we have in our religion a tradition saying, مُدَارَاتُ النَّاسِ نِصْفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Lenience with people is half of the belief. وَالرِّفْقُ بِهِمْ نِصْفُ الْعَيْشِ. And compassion to them is half of the life.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also stated, Rahimallahu imra'an sahhala al-bay'a wa sahhala al-shira'a wa sahhala al-iqtida'. May Allah forgive the one who is lenient in buying and selling goods and in collecting debts. Now, the reason Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking the Almighty Allah and saying, أن تسامحني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني I ask you with the asking of a submissive abased lowly man to show me forbearance we understand that he has done it himself in his life and that is why he is expecting his Lord to give him to show him his forbearance because this is the very first condition if we want to be shown the mercy and forbearance of the Almighty Allah. Let us end our discussion in this program with a narration from the Holy Prophet ﷺ. He says, إِنَّ رَجُلًا كَانَ مُسْرِفًا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ حُسِبَ فَلَمْ تُوجَدْ لَهُ حَسَنَةً In the hereafter, there is a sinner man who is called to account and he has no virtues in his letter of deeds. فقيل له هل عملت خيرا قط He is asked have you ever done a good deed and he replies no but I lent people money from my wealth and I told the young people around me to be lenient with wealthy debtors and leave poor ones then the Almighty would say I am more lenient than him so Allah would forgive his sins we ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید.
ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, The Man Who Changed the World. I'm Sayyid Jabari, here with our guest speaker, Dr. Mehdi Torabi, an expert and Islamic researcher. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Today we have a quote from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, where he says, superpowers want to suppress the humanity of humans. You know, what do you make from that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is related to what we were speaking in the previous program about Imam Khomeini. We ended by saying that, you know, basically Imam was there to build, as all Muslims are supposed to, as all the religious leaders, whether it's Masum or Ghayr Masum, are there to build humans. And a real human being doesn't accept oppression, doesn't accept to be dominated, doesn't accept injustice. Doesn't allow himself to be oppressed. And this is one of the things that Imam used to tell us at the beginning of the revolution and as part of the struggle for the establishment of the Islamic Republic, is that they are really, that the dominating powers, whether it's Taghut, the governments within the Muslim countries in Iran, or their supporters, they don't want people to be real human beings. They want them to be, you know, in a way, creatures that are completely at the service of their lowly desires, who will be consumers of their products, who will be, you know, willing agents and executioners of whatever it is that those taqut and those powers want them to do. That they will not be liberated humans, that they will not be educated, that they will remain ignorant. And this relates to what we were talking about before, about how this revolution and how the Islamic Republic has so fundamentally transformed the lives of so many people in Iran for the better. Mm-hmm. From going from a very feudal, illiterate society, the majority of the people, considering even that glorious history that you would have, you know, even, you know, 5% or 10% of the population living in that state that they did in, at the time of, you know, the previous regime. But it wasn't just 5 or 10%. It was, you know, the vast majority. It was 70, 80% of the people who were like that. And so basically what Imam was talking about is that this America, these Western powers, don't want us to be real human beings. And this is related to what we were talking about and what's been going on in the news.
Yes.
Which is that, you know, when we're talking about having discussions with the West or with the Americans, and as the Supreme Leader has pointed out so many times, is you have to understand the nature of who you're dealing with. It's not about getting together for, you know, a few rounds of talks and that's it. You might do that on specific subjects, on very specific matters, but you cannot lose sight of the nature of who you're dealing with.